That is hard to get through without not keeping it together, if you know what I mean. God has been so good, and we share so many good memories together. And as we keep on keeping on, amen, we continue to add new members to the family of God. And this was just some of those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and followed Him in believer's baptism. And I believe Tracy put that PowerPoint together somewhere around 5 years ago. Didn't you, Tracy? Yeah, thank you so much. We've got more pictures that we could do the same thing again. And I just, Dad and I watched that in the shop earlier this week and just were moved by the Holy Spirit to be so thankful for all that He's done. Praise His name. Praise His name. At this time, our kids age kindergarten through fourth grade may be dismissed for children's worship. And Jeanette is going to lead you this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, we are going to pick up with our U Church series, Matthew chapter 28. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about this do-it-yourself age, represented in things like Pinterest, and did I say that right? I'm not a member of Pinterest, but and then YouTube, you know, the professional producer is out of the picture, and it's just you and me shooting video and uploading it to the World Wide Web, and everybody can see it, and kitty cats get millions of views. And it's amazing, the do-it-yourself era that we're in. Last week we talked about the do-it-yourself guide and the idiot's guide to such and such and the dummy's guide to such and such. It's literally everything that you ever wanted to learn and do, there's a guide for it. And we've used that idea to help us kind of understand that the Great Commission that Jesus gave to each and every one of us is for each and every one of us to do. It never was intended for us to wait for the professional to share Jesus. It's been the intent of the gospel that you and I, ordinary people, share our testimonies. And this morning, Rod's going to share a portion of his testimony as he is baptized today. And in a couple weeks, Jay Halasio is going to be sharing his testimony. And then after that, the week after that, Brandon Wyatt is going to be sharing his testimony. I'm asking every one of us who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to begin to write out your testimony. It's often not until we begin to write it out that we begin to realize all that God has not only saved us from, but the new life that He has planned for us to live. And writing it out, when it passes from the head through the heart, through the pen, helps us process the goodness of God and helps us, it puts it right out in front of us. Look how awesome God has been, and look at what He saved me from. So I want to encourage you, and I want to give you a place to share your testimony. Something amazing will happen in that as you sit down and write that out, God will give you words. The Holy Spirit will give you words that as you write it out, you become more familiar with how to share what His story is in your life. And then when you meet people at the barbershop, at work, at school, these words that you've put on paper, you'll begin to verbalize them, and you'll have tools. You'll have words to share your testimony that you may feel like, I could never share my faith. Well, you can if you just let the Holy Spirit move through you. And for many of you, I believe this is going to be a wonderful step in sharing your story with ordinary people like you and me that really are dying to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 went to Galilee, the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, even to the very end of the age." One of the first things that jumps off the page at me that I was reading and studying this week is that there were only 11. Judas, of course, took his own plan for his life and implemented it, appropriated it, his plan, and it didn't turn out good at all for Judas. However, the 11, Jesus invited to join him on a mountaintop. Isn't that exciting? You see, as Jesus speaks, we listen as disciples, and we are eager to meet him where he wants us to meet him. These 11, I just was thinking of some words. They were faithful, expectant, ready, obedient, willing. They were willing to go where Jesus had told them to go. In other words, they had personally appropriated his words and actions in their life. They heard them, these 11, they heard the words and then appropriated the words, in other words, applied those words to their own life. And that's really the invitation to all of us, even this morning. I want to acknowledge those of you who are joining us online. Thank you so much. You make up the rest of us, the remainder of the body of Christ here at Living Well, and we thank you so much for being there. I'm always anxious to hear from you and would so welcome a text, 815-973-5981, just to know that you're there. I probably won't get to read it until Sunday afternoon, your text, but it just adds another layer of joy to the Sunday morning experience to know that you've joined us online. So thank you for being with us today. These 11 appropriated the words of Jesus. Now, that's a big word, but I thought it fit. Appropriation is the act of accepting something for one's own use, to make one's own. Let me give you an illustration to kind of flesh that idea out. If you worked for a large company, and let's say you worked in the maintenance department, and that large company had entrusted you with the care and maintenance of their facility, surely, undoubtedly, they had a line item in the budget for maintenance. And you, as the manager of the maintenance department, have the responsibility of appropriating those funds to the needs that are in your department. So let's say you needed a new air conditioner that year. That's going to be a big expenditure. But the last couple years, you haven't needed things like air conditioners. You've been buying mops and buckets and vacuums and things, less expensive. So you save back some of the money so that you would be able to, in the year 2015, buy some big-ticket items. Now, a wise manager appropriates the money in the budget. A wise manager looks at the budget that the administration creates and says, "Yeah, I can use that because I've got this need coming up. They're not aware of it, but I can see it coming. We're going to need new tile in the dining room or whatever. So I need to appropriate that money." Because if we don't appropriate the funds, guess what happens in a large corporation? The next year, it's gone. Because nobody said, "I need that." A wise manager appropriates the money in the budget for the needs of the facility. An unwise manager says, "I don't need it right now," and just lets the money go. And then 2 years, 3 years down the road says, "Hey, wait a minute, we need..." And the administration says, "Sorry, the money's not in the budget." And I think it's the same idea of appropriating the words and the grace and the love of God in our life. You see, isn't it good news to share this morning? And this is the message. This is the heart of the good news. Your sins, my sins, the debt that was created by those death-causing, cancer-causing, spiritually devastating, and I mean spiritual cancer, spiraling down the drain, down. God says, I got that covered in the budget. My son's blood paid for your sins and mine. Praise the Lord. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus turned to his disciples and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, this good news, that everything you need is in the budget of God. And all you have to do is speak up and appropriate the grace of God into your life and say, I need that. It's exactly what I need in my life. Lord Jesus, I humbly accept and I appropriate the grace of God made possible through Jesus Christ, shed blood on the cross. And I accept his grace as a covering for my sin. Amen? Everybody say amen? So, the good news, the herald that all of us are responsible for and have the joy of sharing, is that our sins are paid. God has it covered. All we must say is yes. I need you. So as we look at the scripture that we opened with this morning, the first step to following the great instructions of God, this text that we just read, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. By the way, Bill, thank you for leading adult small groups this morning. Powerful. Use the scripture. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'll be with you, even to the very end of the age. This is the great commission. And we think of the great words of Jesus Christ. But let's remember that as we follow the great, Jesus had some very functional, practical, what we would consider common, ordinary words too. The first step in following the great instructions of Jesus is following the common instructions of Jesus. For instance, he told those 11 disciples to go up and meet him on the mountaintop. Now, I wonder what I would do. I can tell you what I would do. The first thing I would do is, and I'm ashamed of this, but I would look at my to-do list and I'd think, I'd see if I have time to go. Lord, help me. What may seem very common, God is growing us into his full plan and fulfillment of his will in our life. And so sometimes we wait around for the great words when he's already given us the common words to just follow step by step. The simple invitation to meet him there. You know what? He has given all of us a simple invitation, and he gives it to us on a daily basis to meet him. Meet him in his word. Meet him in prayer. And meet him together as we meet together as a body in the church. So after our scripture here says, they went up and they met him on the mountain and then they worshiped him. So after, listen, after they appropriated the common message that Jesus gave them to go meet them on the mountain, says they worshiped him. And you know, that meant something to me because I was thinking this week about how often I wait for great moments and then I say, that's worship. when I should be just following and worshiping and then let him do the speaking. Amen. But it says some doubted after that. Some of them worshiped, but some of them doubted. I thought that was a very transparent account by Matthew. You see, even among the faithful, there will always be the opportunity to only see with our physical eyes. I don't know if we get kind of like spiritual cataracts after a while, you know, where, you know, after God brings us up from the water and he saves us and we're like, whoa, I'm walking on air. I can see with the eyes of God. And then layer after layer after, it's like all of a sudden the picture doesn't seem so bright anymore. And we get kind of burdened down by everyday cares and we start kind of looking at each other and you know, hoping that, you know, you'll meet my needs, and then what we're doing is we're missing appointments with the great physician to take the clouds off of our eyes and see him clearly and our world clearly. So meeting with him on a daily basis in his word and in prayer, meeting him on the mountain, just the common everyday instructions of Jesus. Just meet me. Meet with me. Be with me. I want to be with you. So last week we talked about going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. The title of our series has been You Church. To go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature is a personal acceptance that as Jesus speaks, he is speaking to me. He wasn't just talking to those superstars of disciples that we look at and admire today. And tradition tells us that all of them, except for John, were martyred. John spent his elderly years exiled on the island of Patmos. He wasn't just talking to those guys. He was talking to you and me. And he says, I'm not just reserving this for the professional. I'm wanting you, church, because you are the church, Paul says. You're the body of Christ. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, you, church, kind of like YouTube, you get it? All right, I'll move on. You, church, receive this as a personal appropriation of the gospel, the heart of the gospel, that what he said to the disciples, he's saying to me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here we go, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, after we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have some immediate steps that are available for us to take. I call them next steps. And this happens all over in life. Let's say you were to sign up for a college course, and you went to SOC, and you signed on the line, and they took your money, and they gave you a date. And they said, show up at such and such a time, such and such a place, with such and such a books. And so you spent the rest of your money on books, and you got ready for the date. And then you started to think, I don't know. Because that next step, you realize, is going to open up a whole new world to you. Amen? Amen? And the exciting thing is, day after day, morning by morning, Jesus leads us into next steps. And we have the opportunity to follow him, or we have the option to opt out and not show up to class. And having spent the wad, hope that we get a refund. and try to sell the used books. And the anticipation and the optimism that we had for gaining the knowledge that would be imparted in that class, it's going to be too hard. Too much work. So, no, I'm not going to go those next steps. We, however, as disciples, are called to follow him. Amen? We are called to follow him. Just as Jesus said to James and John out there fishing with their father in their nice paid-for fishing boat, nice paid-for equipment, come and follow me. And they got out of their boat, they left their dad, and they followed Jesus. Jesus invites us to follow him. Their next steps were to get out of the boat and follow him. What are your next steps? Baptism is one of those amazing next steps that he calls us to make. But you see, following him, the point that I want to make here this morning is following him, as awesome as being saved is, and appropriating the grace of God to cover my sins, there's more steps to make. Amen? There is a lifelong journey of growth and discipleship that Jesus is inviting you to. And he simply invites you to take the next steps that he is offering. So, let's think about it this way this morning. There's more than one step here. To accept the salvation of God is wonderful, and I welcome you into the family of God if you've done that. If not, please talk to me. I would love to share from God's word how you can know that you know that you know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and loved by him, and your sins are paid for by the blood of his Son. And as you do that, step into that new grace, guess what? The next morning, there's new grace for you to step into and to walk in and to understand and enjoy. Follow me, Jesus said. What does that imply? It implies forward momentum. Follow me. Follow me. Not just take a step to me. All right, you're good. Don't come any closer, Jesus says. No, follow me. Come as close to my heart as you can get. And I will make you a fisher of men. Right then and there, James and John were thinking, what did we just step in? Because we had this fishing thing down pretty good. And now he's changing the whole thing. Make fishers of men? What is that? That's what we're talking about this morning. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Says Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So I've got this image in my mind of this plow, and it's being pulled by a horse, and you're guiding the horse, and you're moving down, and you're taking the next steps, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about lunch. And you start thinking about all the things you've got to do that. And you start looking back. You start looking back to the places that you've been. You say, that doesn't look too... Wow, look how straight those rows are. And you get your eyes off Christ and you start moving off into no man's land. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of heaven. You see, we got to keep moving forward. Amen? We got to keep on keeping on. We got to keep taking those next steps. And if you haven't taken the next step, that is a conversation that you and the Lord, I just want to encourage you, that you will find the joy and the fulfillment of feeling like, I was talking with Paul this morning, I wish that we could have your testimony today about how the video game thing and how playing a game online on a server that you constructed actually is, it's a long story, but developing a relationship, and this individual is attending church in another church today because that connection was happening. It was a video game online. And God used it to help another individual come a little closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. That's my job. It's your job. Whatever context we are in our career, in our life, in our family, all taking next steps in helping others come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior too. James says, what good is it, my friends, if a man has faith without works? He's like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and then turns away and forgets what he looks like. I was thinking about that this week. And you know, you wake up and your hair is like this. Well, not you, Steve, but you wake up and your hair is like this, and you walk over to the mirror and you got bags under your eyes and you look in the mirror and the mirror says, I can help with this. But then you say, and you look in the mirror and you go, oh! And then you turn away and think, oh. And you start rationalizing in your mind, I'm not so bad. I don't look so bad. And then you meet your spouse in the hallway and they go, oh! James says, what good is it, my friends, if you've faced the light of seeing yourself through Christ's eyes and then turn around and forget what you look like? You see Jesus through his word and through his light and through his Holy Spirit is showing us that we got problems that we do need to face and we do need to work through. And he says, if you will keep your eyes on me, I'll help you fix what's wrong. I will help you. But don't forget, you've got new information, you got new light to walk in. Now you got to take the next steps. Amen. And baptism is part of that walk with Christ. It's a wonderful step. It's a public profession that I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm doing it right out here in the open in front of God and everybody. It means that I'm asking you to hold me accountable as part of your body, the body of Christ. It means that I am not ashamed to be considered a follower of Jesus. This is the sanctified life. To look in the mirror, which is in this instance looking into the Word of God, and then letting Him take you through the next steps, whatever they are, for your entire life. The next step, the next step, the next step. Growth, obedience, following. Develops Christian maturity and character in your life. And pretty soon at the end of years go by and you look back and you're like, whoa, look what God has done. Not by my works, but by His grace. Let me give you some instances in Scripture. I love this. Just going to read some Scripture here from Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. These are some instances of baptism in the Bible. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and her members of her household were baptized, she invited us into their home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Then there's Acts chapter 16, verses 20 through 34. This is the account of the Philippian jailer. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews. And they were going to get locked up for sharing Christ. And they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they'd been severely flogged, they went They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They were taking their next steps. They were singing hymns to God. They were spending time meeting with God right there in jail. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought if the prisoners escaped, and he's going to be in trouble. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, because of their testimony, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. And the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his entire family. He and his entire family. Here the father took the step of leadership in his entire home. They followed and believed and were baptized. And they were taking their next steps immediately. Acts chapter 18, verses 7 through 11. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one's going to attack and harm you because I have many people in the city." So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching the word of God to them. Paul baptized Crispus and his entire household. Paul stayed a year and a half and kept on teaching them. Finally, the account of Paul's baptism in Acts chapter 22, verses 12 through 16. This is after Paul saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. "A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout," this is Paul speaking, "a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that moment he was able to see. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name.'" Amen? Amen. So what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized. I like what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip. He's riding along in his chariot, and God said to Philip, "Hey, I want you to go stand by that chariot." So Philip says, "Okay, what chariot?" God says, "That one." "Okay, I'll go stand by that one." He says, "Yes, that's perfect." And there the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah, but he had no clue what he was reading. He saw Philip there, and he said, "Do you understand what this book says?" Philip says, "Yes, I happen to understand." So he invited him on up into that chariot, and together they read the book of Isaiah. It, of course, talks about Jesus giving his blood for them. Right then and there, in that chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he looked out, and they were going past the mud, or we'll say mud puddle, but they were going past water. And the Ethiopian eunuch said, "There's water. What's preventing me from being baptized right here, right now?" And Philip said, "Nothing." And right then and there, he was baptized. Amen? He's taking the next steps. Oh, we're so rational. Huh? When Jesus speaks, though, let's follow. Amen? Let's follow him. So today, we take the step of baptism. Today, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized, Rod's saying. Amen, Rod? This is a sacrament, which means it's a sign of the sacred. This is a means of grace, thus enabling us to participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a means of grace. Means of grace are ways in which God works invisibly in disciples, quickening, strengthening, confirming faith. So we as believers participate in these means of grace to open our heart, open our eyes, open our soul to the work of God in us. Sacraments or means of grace may be defined in two categories, individual and communal. While there are some differences in theological strains and rivers, different histories, here is a kind of a general overview of what means of grace is. Prayer and fasting, searching the scriptures, and holy living is individual means of grace. It means that each and every one of us can participate in the sacraments of God every day by praying, by fasting, by searching the scriptures, and by accepting the beauty that God has given us a role to fulfill right here, right now. And then there's communal. There's participating in the body of Christ in, like John Wesley said, a community. Getting together, being a part of the body, of studying the scriptures together, and of baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. What shall I say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? No. By no means, Paul said. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Amen. Death of the old life. Rod, if you want to go ahead and get changed right now, we're going to get ready to baptize you. I appropriate the grace of God reserved for me to be available. I appropriate it. In my own life, Lord Jesus, I say yes to you. Cleanse me. Purify me. May you be praised. It's the burial of the old life. The sin, the life of sin is put away. It's 6 feet under. Resurrection into the new life. Walking to rise in new life. Recently had some questions in regards to infant baptism. I want to share about the beauty of baptism, not only as an adult, which we're going to experience with Rod, but also I wanted to share from Scripture and from Christian history what we believe about infant baptism. Let me read from our Church of the Nazarene manual. It says, "While we do not hold that infant baptism imparts regenerating grace of God, we do believe that Christ gave this holy sacrament as a sign and a seal of the new covenant. Christian baptism signifies for young children God's gracious acceptance on the basis of his prevenient grace in Jesus Christ, and points forward to his or her personal appropriation of the benefits of the atonement of Christ when he or she reaches the age of moral accountability and exercises conscious saving faith in Jesus Christ. For Christians, here even today. Baptism, remember when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple when he was an infant? Baptism has replaced circumcision. Infant boys presented by their parents in the temple as to appropriate in the Old Testament the grace of God in their life, in the life of their child, through circumcision. In other words, that circumcision said that you are now a part of the covenant of God. You have been welcomed in. Jesus was circumcised as a symbol of his parents' appropriation of the law of God in his life. Circumcision today has been replaced with baptism. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 13 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of his deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head of over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by hands, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Further, we believe that when Jesus said to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All nations, everywhere in Scripture, means everybody. Men, women, and children. It means that we are like the three or four instances we read in the book of Acts, where he believed and he and his entire household were baptized. There's something powerful about appropriating this grace of God physically in this sacrament into our lives. Further, infant baptism is a symbol of the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. When we baptize an infant, we sprinkle with water. Infant baptism is a symbol of the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. And Scripture in the New Testament talks about being sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ. Infant baptism was universally accepted and practiced in the early church. The apostles, after they died, and theologians began to write, and church leaders began to write down and record and lead the church. Infant baptism, we find in those writings, is universally accepted as common practice. Those who led the church in the generations after the apostles practiced infant baptism. Origen writes in his commentary of Romans, "The church has received from the apostles the custom of administering baptism even to infants. For those who have been entrusted with the secrets of divine mysteries, the apostles, knew very well that all are tainted with the stain of original sin, which must be washed away." Sprinkling also has powerful symbolism. In Exodus chapter 24, verses 4 through 8, let me read it to you. "Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said, and he got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people, and they responded, 'We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey.' Then Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words, and as we sprinkle with water an infant, this is the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you." Here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Having been sprinkled by his blood, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2. Let's read that as we come in for a landing here. Philip, or Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God and Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Christ Jesus and sprinkled by his blood. Grace and peace to you be yours in abundance. Baptism is a sacrament, as a sacrament is the appropriation of the life and actions of Jesus into our lives. Infant baptism, as a father or mother leads their family in being baptized, as we see in the book of Acts, is an example of spiritual leadership, an anticipation of that young person's personal appropriation of the grace of God in their life. I want to give a word also for those who were baptized as infants or very young children, but are also thinking about being baptized as an adult, as a symbol of their saying, "Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I may have been baptized as a child, but today I stand as an adult, making my own decision. I want to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ." And I can say from Scripture there's no biblical precedent for that, but I can also see no biblical declaration against that either. And I believe that if it fosters growth in your spiritual life, it is a beautiful thing. Amen?
Amen.
It comes down to the heart. For those who are baptized at the will of their parents and or as young children, I believe it's especially meaningful to affirm with an act of their free will and knowledge of what it means to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I affirm, I wholeheartedly affirm, I am a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and his grace cleanses me even today. Baptism. As Rod comes and we prepare to baptize him, that is really heavy. And Brandon, could you come up and stir the water, if you would, please? We have a cordless mic that's floating around here that is separate, right up there. For those of you who have not maybe had an opportunity to meet Rod, this is Rod Simpkins, and he has been a part of things around here for several months. And the Lord has been working in your life in a big way. I'd like to give you as much time as you would like to just share what Jesus is doing in your life right here and right now, Brady.
All right. Well, I'll start out.
Yeah, put it right up there.
I'll start out. At the age of 10 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And as I become a teenager, I went the wrong way, into drugs for 26 years. And I always had him in my heart, though, and knew I was doing the wrong thing. But just kind of ignored it and thought I'd do whatever I wanted. And I came to the realization that it was time to make a change in life and to become a Christian again. And after that 26 years of doing drugs, and I've been sober for 257 days today. And I give all the glory to Jesus Christ. And amen. And thank you all for coming today. Amen. I appreciate it. And amen.
I want you to know, Rod, that when you come in every Sunday and you stick your hand out and you say how many days you've been sober, I want you to know that that helps me and pushes me forward spiritually. And together, as we are the body of Christ, we hold each other up in support and accountability, and we're going to make this. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to keep on keeping on, and our next steps are important. And as we think about what his next steps for us are, it may be dealing with some addictions or hurts or hang-ups in your life. It may be following him and believer's baptism. It may be joining a small group. It may be hosting an organic church in your home. It could be any number of things. I'll just let the Holy Spirit share with you what that is. But you're going to feel this conviction. Doesn't it feel good, though, that conviction? Because you know the Spirit's working in you. And yes, it's hard. It's challenging. And you're not going to be able to stay in your comfort zone. But it's the right thing to do. And as you move forward in your next steps, you have the confirmation from the Holy Spirit that says, yes, these are the next steps. Walk in it, and I will bless you, and I will bless, and I will bless with every step. Amen.
Amen.
Rod, let's try the water out.
Where's the ice? Is
it too warm?
No.
Okay. All right. I'd like to read a portion of the Apostles' Creed because I believe that what's happening right here and right now is not just about being a part of Living Well Church. Amen? It's about being part of the worldwide body of Jesus Christ. And not just for today, this point in history, but for all of time. Amen?
Amen.
So as we affirm together that we are a part of this body of Jesus Christ, let's read the Apostles' Creed, which is one of the earliest statements of belief in the church. It goes clear back to some of the fathers in the faith that I mentioned earlier. Baptism is a sign and seal of the new covenant of grace, the significance of which is attested to by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, where it says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." The earliest and simplest statement of Christian belief to which you now come to be baptized is the Apostles' Creed, which reads as follows: "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church of Jesus Christ, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Will you be baptized into this faith?"
Yes.
Rod, Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and realize that He saves you today?
Absolutely.
Amen. I'm going to have you sit down. Yeah. Is it too warm? Okay. Okay. Could I have, Steve, would you come and assist from that side? I don't want to put any strain on Rod. He just had surgery, so we're not wanting to put any extra strain on his abdomen at this time. But you know, as we come today, we recognize that following Jesus happens in ordinary time. And there will always be a good reason presented to you to not follow. But would you join Rod and join the Church Triumphant today in saying, you know, life does happen, but I'm going to keep on keeping following Him. Amen?
Amen.
And no matter what happens, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I will follow Him. Someday He's going to call us home. And I may meet you in the clouds, or I may meet you when I cross from the threshold of this life into the next. I just want everybody here to make it. Amen?
Amen.
So we can follow the example of Christ in living wholly devoted to the Father and follow the example of the disciples who gave their lives, the rest of their lives, following the next steps, saying yes to Him. So as we say yes to Him and affirm Rod's decision, this baptism is not just about Rod, it's about all of our journeys. And today we say yes to what He's doing in our lives. Rod, as you come today, and as you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we join together with you in this celebration. And Lord, we thank you as we come to you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that today Rod has appropriated the grace of Jesus Christ into his life and said yes to you and acknowledges you as his personal Savior. So Lord, today bless him in every aspect of his life. Bless him, Lord, as he recovers from past decisions. Bless him, Lord, as he presses on and follows you as that your plan for his life uncovers new and fresh grace every day. Lord, we celebrate today. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we now baptize Rod.
Amen, brother. Thank you, brother.
Amen. All glory to God.
Amen.
All glory to God. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Worship team, come on up and let's continue to celebrate what God is doing. Amen. One more. As I mentioned last week, part of being a functioning part of the body of Christ is dealing with our hurts, hang-ups, and habits. and also daily saying yes to Him and your and His plan for your life. For some of us, for many of us, that means taking a step into the not only the spiritual aspect of what God is doing in our lives as individuals, but also stepping into the body, the corporate body of Jesus Christ, and recognizing that there is a call of God in my life to fulfill His plan and for me, not just as an individual, living my life over here in such and such a town, doing the such and such, but being part of the structure of the church, which, as Paul says, is His body. And I want to invite those of you, because I said I would do this today, I wanted to extend an invitation to anyone who would like to become a member of Living Well. What that means is we move from this is where I go to church to this is where I belong. And it changes our verbiage and how we communicate on a daily basis with individuals. It means that that local body is where God is growing me and I'm contributing and I'm being a part of everything that's happening there. This is my spiritual family and I'm growing there and attempting to help others to grow too and doing all I can to invest in the spiritual health and growth of those around me. Nothing fancy, but if you would like to accept the invitation to become a member of Living Well, just come and talk to me. We're going to lead in a couple more songs as we dismiss this morning. I'm just going to be right up here, and if anyone would like to join the church this morning, that's completely fine, and we would certainly welcome you to do that. This song that we're going to sing right now is the song that I walked to the front of the church and accepted Jesus Christ into my life on. I surrender all. And this song has been used by God in my life to help me take a look at my life and realize that at different points I've taken the reins back again. John, would you let me be Lord of your life? And it has meant for me, and it's so beautifully verbalized in the words, I surrender. I surrender all. And as our band leads us in that, would you let this be your prayer today? I'd invite you to examine your own spiritual life and just ask the Lord, is there anything that I'm holding on to that is inhibiting my spiritual growth, inhibiting my next spiritual steps? And this morning, Lord, I'm going to respond, I surrender all. Let's sing that together.
And all to Jesus I surrender, to I surrender.
what you've done in this service this morning in all of our hearts. We say yes to you thankfully, joyfully. We respond to your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the personal invitation of appropriating this grace into our lives. And yes, Lord, humbly we say yes and accept the free gift of salvation and the next steps of sanctification happening in our lives right here, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing one song that we sang a little earlier in the service. Have a little fun with it as we dismiss today. I saw the light. Steve, would you lead us?
Praise the Lord, I saw.